Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Crypto Economy Podcast. Today, I'm very excited to have my friend Mahbod back on, who is the founder or co-founder of Rap Genius. He's a man whose company was once described by Mark Andreessen as the most important company he had ever funded. So with that introduction, thanks for being back on.
Now he would be like, I made a mistake. My bad.
Well, I can't take it back. It's on the record. So today I'm having Mahbod on just because he had a LinkedIn post and he said that he wanted to respond to a video that was been going around online that was sort of history and breakdown of Rap Genius. And I figured it would be much better for everyone to hear it from the man who was actually there in his own words. And so for the most part, I want to let you sort of take it away and address things. I've got a few questions just from my own take on the video, but maybe if you could just take people through, the start of the company and sort of some of the early parts of his story that you might take issue with.
Oh, man. Well, it's just, it's nice to know that people in Gen Z care about history. And everyone's like, wow, you so thoroughly researched this. But really, all this kid did was he basically read the Genius Wikipedia page. Like, there's nothing in-depth in there at all. And then there are so many crazy insider stories about Genius that he completely missed. I know them because of Ewok. Ewok was basically the guy who was running the Genius community, and then he got fired. Ewok getting fired was the craziest drama in Genius history, and that doesn't get covered. Everpedia hired Ewok.
He was working. Can you tell us about the story of him getting fired?
He got fired. Well, all right. So he got fired supposedly because there's this kid. I hate to dox, but his name's Steven Nide. He's like the bad guy. I forgot his username, but he's basically the kid who ruined Genius. He's like a total piece of shit. He was an intern at the Genius Bel Air house while I was still there. And all I remember about Nide is the smell. The smell. Like, he was just worst smelling socks, worst smelling feet. And he's a Reddit kid, you know? Really nerdy white kid. Embarrassingly, he somehow thought that he's a rapper too. It was the worst. So Ewok was a weirdo too, but Ewok's a nice guy, and he was writing thoughtful annotations. Steven Nide was more just like an autism kid who wanted to be the most powerful rap genius, and he basically wanted everyone else to fail. He was the one who started deleting all of the annotations if he thought that they're not up to snuff. And a lot of my annotations were just jokes, and he doesn't have a sense of humor, so he deleted all my jokes. So thanks, Steven. So it was Steven versus Ewok, and then Ewok ended up getting fired. Like, supposedly, Steven Nide was sexually harassing an intern, and then Ewok snitched on him, and then they fired Ewok for snitching on Steven Nide. Like, believe it or not. That's like wow. I mean, that's the thing. Truth is stranger than fiction. That's what Rap Genius taught me. We were at parties with all these billionaires. All the billionaires are drunk. They're just talking about orgies. It's like Epstein Island vibes.
Really. That's crazy. Could you maybe tell us about the night where you were sitting with Mark Zuckerberg and Andreessen and you took the picture that they didn't want you to take?
Yeah, that's what got me started in all the trouble. Yeah, the Gen Z should... I forgot about that. The Gen Z kid should have put that on in the documentary.
That's where I got it.
When I had to write the apology, yeah, but this part is in there. I had to write the apology to him. And when they told me to write the apology to him, they were basically like, listen, Zuck has autism. And they said that he sits in the same office as Sheryl Sandberg. That's what Ben Horowitz told us. It was basically like, this kid is retarded. Like, someone has to type his email. The funniest part about that was Nas asked Mark Zuckerberg who his favorite rapper is. And he didn't respond. He just froze. Like, he made no response. Because, like, in his autism brain, he was just trying to, like, process a response. He just couldn't do it.
That's insane.
I took his picture. So he has autism, so he really, really hates to have his picture taken. It's like in the movie Rain Man, when like the brother is afraid of hot water, he like starts screaming when there's hot water. So that's my, and that's, it's funny because he built Facebook, so he has all these people's pictures up, and he's paranoid. Like, he on whenever he posts pictures of his kids, he blurs out his kids' paid faces. Just like, give me a break.
Yeah, they're out there. So, was that night like sort of, I guess, the turning point in your opinion? Is that sort of a day where you're like, I wish I did not take like Andreessen's money? Do you think it would have been different with different investors? Or
No,
was it
I think
just.
that had a lot. There were opportunities for Genius to try to just monetize. Complex wanted us to do a 2-year ad deal with them, Complex.com, because they had something called the Complex Ad Network. And they were trying to sign up other hip hop websites. I was friends with a guy who ran PigeonsandPlanes.com. That's a pretty cool music website. And he basically became like a complex employee, like, a servant complex, and he's balling. Like, overall, it turned him into a baller. So the funny thing is, if we the guy who started Hip Hop DX, right when Rap Genius started, he offered to buy it from us for $1 million. At the time, I thought that's a lot of money, but when you got into tech, I'm like, oh, $1 million, that's nothing. But it's funny because I got so little money from Genius that if we would have just sold it to him for $1 million, I probably would have gotten about the same amount.
So how did you end up getting screwed out of the money from Genius, essentially?
Yeah, so the guy they sold it to, this doesn't get covered in the documentary at all. His dad invented the cartoon Inspector Gadget.
Ah, I used to love
So he's
that.
like a Hollywood nepo baby. He went to USC. And then from USC, he knew a lot of Persian. Like, he knew the Tinder Bros, and he knew these guys who run a company called FabFitFun. It's a really stupid company, but they're Persian. Mark Schuster and them. So he would, at the FabFitFun parties, he would always be like, "Bro, sell me Rap Genius, sell me Rap Genius." Like, he's a Persian. He's an LA white kid who like has hung out with Persians so much that he talks like he's Persian. And he's an idiot. Like, before, so he used daddy's money to build Whisper App, which was a huge failure. It was like
I
Yik Yak.
remember
And then he started buying websites and ruining them. He bought WorldStarHipHop.com and DatPiff.
Oh,
And he
I was
basically ruined
wondering what
both.
happened to World Star. Yeah.
So now he's ruining Genius. And yeah, the way that they did the deal, Genius had raised $100 million. They bought it for $80 million. So none of the common stock got $0. The preferred stock got $20 a share, which meant that the angel investors basically like tripled their money. Dan Gilbert, who's like the multi-billion, he's the guy who owns the Cavs. He was the big investor. I think he was the only investor who straight up lost money. But then this is another thing the documentary doesn't address. Dan Gilbert did not invest in Genius to make money. Dan Gilbert invested in Genius because the CEO's dad is connected with the owner of the Miami Heat. And they were trading favors. So he got the Miami Heat to send LeBron back to Cleveland in exchange for the owner of the Cavs investing in our company.
Wow, so Cleveland has you to
Well, then he left for LA, so it was
think.
short-lived, but yeah. Basically, we got our money just to fulfill this billionaire's whimsy. And he truly never gave a damn about Genius. He wanted us to build a quiz app. Like, right after he invested in Genius, he's like, "You guys should build a quiz app where you a answer." Like, gee, that's a great idea. But it's funny because there was, what was it called? IQ Trivia? I guess he wanted us to play IQ Trivia, so.
Worked for a little bit. Definitely got buzz.
Well,
And
IQ
yeah,
Trivia
no.
made money, and Genius didn't make it. But yeah, so the common stock became zero, but then they gave everyone bonuses. So that's why it was basically to fuck me over. Like, everyone who had common stock got a bonus. The CEO got 10 million bucks, but I got nothing. So it was basically designed for me to get nothing. And then now I have a lawyer who's suing, but I don't know if he'll even be able to get me any money. Hopefully he gets me some sugar.
There you go. Well, you've clearly found other ways to do well for yourself. And, you know, I feel like
I built
sometimes
a
these things,
and from the second
they work team, out. So
that didn't last
when
too.
You were,
I had to leave my
when you were in that situation, I guess, what was running through your mind as far as like, how do I save this company in the earlier days before you were gone? What were the things that, what was your vision for the company as opposed to your co-founders? I know Andreessen wanted you to create this sort of like layer for the entire internet to sort of transcribe everything. Was that ever something you thought would work? Did you just really want to focus on the music industry and create sort of the, what was your vision?
I was really, really scared about doubling down on music. And then sometimes I think that the plan was just all along to have the annotation thing fail so they could double down on music. Because you have to remember, Ben Horowitz low-key wanted us to double down on music because he didn't want to make money from Genius. He just wanted to meet rappers. It was like Dan Gilbert didn't want to make money. He just wanted to get LeBron. So these were their incentives. It wasn't for Genius to succeed. So he wanted us to double down. They were the only reason we had to even do the annotation thing was because he told us that the first time that we got drunk with Ben Horowitz, he told us that Andreessen Horowitz's rule is we do not invest in music. We even passed on Spotify. That's what he told us. So we basically had to convince the board that we're not only music. But then he wanted us to be only music because all he wanted to do was kick Nas and Kanye.
And then they didn't have any music.
I never wanted us to be only music. It actually made me feel uncomfortable because I'm not an expert on rap. I knew more about rap than my co-founders, but yeah. I don't even like rap, to be perfectly honest. There's like maybe two or three rappers.
So what would you have done with the company if they had just given it to you and you could have just taken off? What would you have
all
done?
I was doing pretty much all I did. And Tom, even though we ended up not getting along, but 75, until my brain tumor, Tom had this reverence for me. Like, he bought me a house in Malibu. Genius used to be that. We had our New York office, but because I said I don't want to live in New York, he let the company also have a beach house in Malibu. So that just showed that he considered me to be like his golden goose, and he would take care of me. So, shouts out to him, you know?
Yeah. So do you still, are you still on good terms with your co-founders? Do you still keep in touch?
No. So the funny thing is Tom became a big NFT guy. Right after he got the 10 million bucks from selling Genius, he started RRBAYC, which was like a protest of Bored Ape Yacht Club. And then Bored Ape Yacht Club sued him. So he like denounced that project. And then now he just invented an alternative to NFTs. He invented a cheaper version to make NFTs called ETHscriptions. He's probably going to become a billionaire off of that.
Yeah, I've heard of that one. That one's actually got some lift to it. Nice. Okay.
No one knows it's him because he tries to detach himself from the Genius infamy. So like for the Bored Ape Yacht Club thing, no one knew that it's the same guy as Genius. And for ETHscriptions, I don't think anyone knows either.
Yeah, I feel like that's pretty purposeful. People try to obscure that stuff.
I was really trying to get into the reason I got.
How was the experience of Y Combinator for you? Like, do you have any interesting stories from that? Was that kind of what people say it is?
I like YC. At this point, I've lost my interest in most of Silicon Valley, but YC because it started out being for hackers. One thing I like about YC is I'm not banned from YC. So that's cool.
That is cool.
I suggested their alumni party, and I probably ate like 25 tacos. They gave free tacos.
Yeah, I heard that alumni party was pretty cool. I feel like that'd be the place to be.
This dude said he might get me a job at Snapchat. That would be fucking amazing.
There you go. So one thing the documentary kind of mentioned was that there was some mission, or maybe not, some ethos at the company that any publicity was good publicity, and that you were drumming up, negative publicity on purpose, or just saying things that would get attention in an effort to attract, free publicity, essentially. Was that the ethos of the company? Was that a conscious decision? Or was that you just being who you are?
Well, it wasn't just me, it was just us being dumb because my co-founders encouraged me. I was making a lot of diss freestyles, and now they removed it. Was all on the Rap Genius YouTube, so you can't watch them anymore. But I did a diss freestyle of Dos Racist that got 100,000 views on YouTube. I was naked. I was naked. It was a naked freestyle. That's what I was doing. I'm not that good of a rapper, so when I would do them, I would usually do them naked
That'll
just to get
increase the
more
attention.
attention and to show my body.
I'm sure it worked. So was that one of like the crazier things you did, or like what was looking back on it like the craziest thing that you said or did, and what was the thing that you did that you got a lot of flack for that you feel like wasn't that bad?
Well, after I left Genius, the thing that really got me excommunicated was I wrote an article called How to Steal from Whole Foods. And I'm still proud of that article. I actually found out that Jeff Bezos really liked the article. So my theory is that that's the reason why he bought Whole Foods and he put self-checkout in there. So now you can steal whatever you want.
That's great. Was there anything that like you said or did that like people really came down on you hard for that you were like, that wasn't that bad. I feel like people shouldn't have cared about that.
Well, all of the things. The Mark Zuckerberg quote, I got in trouble because I told Mark Zuckerberg can suck my dick. And that was a perfect demonstration of like New York Times fake news because that's not what I said. They basically misquoted me as hard as they could. Like the reason I said that was actually to say the opposite. Like I was saying something with a certain tone. So it made me realize fake news and especially the left-wing bias. I'm not even right-wing. Like people think I'm a Republican. I'm not. I hate Donald Trump. But at the time, everyone thought that I give Trump vibes. So that's why Gawker hated me and Sam Biddle from Gizmodo was like out to get me. When I got a brain tumor, he wrote an essay about how he thinks I'm faking it. I'm like, come on, man.
That's crazy.
I'm gonna fake something, I'll fake getting shot.
Wow, that's crazy. So, why do you think a guy like Sam writes an article like that about you? Like, why is a guy like that gunning for you?
Sam Biddle in the middle of Little Italy didn't do diddly. He's a piece of shit. I'm glad he finally lost his fucking job. Someone told me he's a Nepo baby too, and his last name always reminded me of the Pilgrims, like the play The Crucible. The old man Biddle would be the guy who like snitches on the female pilgrims who won't sleep with him. He's like, old sissy here is a witch. Old man Biddle says she's a witch. Yeah,
Yeah,
he's
honestly,
got sale. He's
it's a
terrible.
lot of Nepo babies. It really is, man. I've just dealt with so much of it, and it's tough, but
I always wanted to
all you
be
can do.
cool with Gawker. Like when Genius came out, that's the reason they would pick on me is I would hit on them to give us good press. Because the thing I liked about Gawker is that they make the news funny, and that's one thing I really wanted about Genius. I wanted Genius to be funny, and that guy Steven Nidey started deleting all the jokes. And this kid who made this documentary, he's talking about how the community went down, but I don't think that he means it in the sense that the jokes aren't there, because the kid who made this documentary seems like he's probably never laughed at or told a joke in his life.
Yeah.
He's just got
Yeah, I did
like a
get that vibe.
Redditor autism. I hit
So
him up
how
now and I cussed him out and I was like, yo, fuck you for talking shit about Genius. And he's like, why are you mad? I showed you love. He's like, I'm showing you love. I'm talking shit about your co-founders. And a lot of other people too. A lot of other people told me, like, you know, you come out good in this documentary. But I don't know, it just rubbed me the wrong way. Because also, how can you say the rap genius got destroyed when literally every single teenager I ever meet says that they use it?
Well, the SEO, we're all slaves to the algorithms now. But I do think it wasn't a terrible perspective on you. I think he really emphasized, like, you were kind of the heart and soul of the company, and that when you left, they couldn't keep the community together, and that was ultimately what made the company strong. Is there anything you want to maybe say about how you built up that community and how you, you know, encourage people and got them excited about the idea enough to commit so much time and energy?
Guy who made the documentary is incel, and sometimes incels like me. But I'm always like, listen, I'm glad you like me, but, like, let's work on making you not incel. He just didn't tell a lot of the story. Like, so Google wanted to buy Genius for $750 million. He didn't mention that part. That's a big deal. If the CEO had just said yes to that, I'd be rich. Okay. He doesn't care about money. And it's fucked up what Google did to us. Like, at this point, I don't have a horse anymore. I don't have any Genius shares. They're worth zero. But I still think that what Google did to us is fucked up. And that's why I'm excited that it's going to the Supreme Court. Because Google did the exact same thing to Yelp. And I remember when they did it to Yelp, I felt like they're stealing from people. And their philosophy is that they want you to search, when you search, the best thing comes up. But right now, when you search lyrics, which is the most popular thing that people search, the best thing does not come up. Because the best thing is Genius. And instead, they give you the copy-paste content farm, you know, e-howification of Genius that they're doing, that we prove that they're doing by watermarking the lyrics.
Yeah, were you involved in the watermarking process at all, or do you know how they sort of came up with that?
I was not in any way involved in the watermarking process. All I can tell you, the guy who did the watermarking, I remember when Tom decided we want to hire him. We were on shrooms, and Tom's friend, who was working at an investment bank, making like $1 million a year. And Tom said, we got to give him 5% equity. And we're like, 5%? Like, we had just given the CTO 1% equity. He's like, no, this kid's a genius. We got to do it. So we hired him. For the longest time, he didn't even do anything because he didn't like rap. He was this kid, total nerd. But yeah, he's the one who came up with watermarking the lyrics, and he killed it, man. Shouts out to Tom.
That's brilliant.
I hope someday
Yeah, that's awesome. So what is the Supreme Court case exactly about? Like, if it's ruled in favor, like, what's the precedent that's going to be set?
So Yelp sued Google, and it went to the Supreme Court. And they said that because they're copying Yelp's photographs, Google's allowed to do it, which is still fucked up. Yelp's community goes, takes photographs of these businesses to get Yelp points, and then Google just scrapes it. Maybe it would have helped if Yelp were actually giving them money or were giving them Bitcoin. Like, that's why I think Web3, all these things where you give people badges and shit, I don't want the badges. I want at least some pocket change or some Bitcoin. And then now they're doing the same thing with Genius. The difference is with Genius, at least it's not like a photo where it's just out for free for anyone. It's at least someone has the copyright. Genius doesn't, but the artist does. So who knows? Maybe that'll help us somehow.
Yeah, interesting. So are there any other, like, major points of the video that you took issue with?
I'd say he didn't get enough into who the acquirer was. Oh, he blamed Rob Markman. So he describes Rob Markman, who is the guy who knows all the rappers who replaced me, as, like, the guy who created the downfall of Genius. On the one hand, that's a very prescient point to make, because it's true that as Genius became more media, the community part of it fell to the back burner. Like, a lot of times I tell people Genius is a community. They're like, oh, I thought it was just a YouTube channel. They don't even know it's a community. Okay. But at the same time, before Rob Markman came, not that many rappers were using it. Like, I can count, you know, I get some rappers to use them. Like, you know, ASAP Rocky is my boy. Based God is my boy. But then Rob Markman is famous. He knows every single rapper who's ever lived. So he really changed the game. I think Rob Markman is who made it a household name. And then this kid, because he has autism, and he's like a Reddit bro, he thought that that actually indicated the downfall, which in some ways is true. But that's like a very Edward Gibbon decline and fall of the Roman Empire point to make. In the short term, Rob Markman is who made Genius a household name. I've never met him, but shouts out to Rob.
Nice, nice. So are there any... I guess like sort of wrapping up this chapter, are there any other like sort of interesting stories you'd like to tell? Any, you know, people that you met that maybe weren't as they would seem on first impression?
I gotta say, if Rob Markman had given more of a shit, he could have single-handedly saved Genius. He should have been the CEO. And they gave him embarrassingly low equity. I think they gave him like half of 1% equity. It said in the Business Insider, Business Insider wrote an article about how I got ripped off in the acquisition, and that they said that Rob Markman didn't have much equity either. And the reason they didn't give him that much equity is because my co-founders are racist. We had a handful of black employees. They always treated the black employees like shit. They ended up being forced to hire black employees because I think Ben Horowitz probably put his foot down. And the funniest thing was, right when I left Genius and they decided they want to make it go beyond rap, they hired a who's who of white people. They hired like every like Brooklyn bourgeois bohem, rich parents, white person. They even hired fucking Sasha Farrar Jones, the lamest writer from The New Yorker. So that was like this embarrassing phase of Genius history. That's also when they were on the cover of The New York Times.
So, well,
I know where I'm getting at this. I just want to
No, I think this is great. So after you sort of stepped away from Rap Genius, what was it that you did right after? I know you started, I think, at Everipedia, right? So what was your experience like there, going from Rap Genius to a crypto company?
For me was the shitcoin lesson. Genius for me was the work for free lesson, or work for points lesson. I decided I don't want people working for points. I don't want people working for medals. But then Everpedia made me decide I don't want people working for shitcoins either. Although our shitcoin was called IQ, which I think is the best name of any shitcoin. And the reason that's the name is because on Genius, the points you would get were called IQ.
Oh, got it. I never made that connection.
Like, we're making a shitcoin that's like making the IQ points of Genius worth money. But it's still a shit coin. What we should have done is just give people Bitcoin. If they're putting up lyrics on the internet, give them Bitcoin. If they're making wikis, give them Bitcoin. It's internet money. That's why I got into Bitcoin in 2013. Because the CEO of Genius told me I can't give $100 checks to the users because they'll get angry. So I thought maybe he'll let me give them Bitcoin, because that's like internet money. It's like IQ points.
So why, when you started your like next platform, which is Hella Doge, which is your social media platform with Doge, like why did you choose Doge over Bitcoin at the time? Do you know like what you were thinking there?
The guy who built it insisted on Doge because he loved Elon Musk and he thought he could get Elon Musk to invest.
Got it. Yeah, no, I think it's so tempting. Everyone wants to make their own token. They think they can make it worth $1 billion and they'll own 30% and they'll make $300 million and it'll be so easy. But at the end of the day, I feel like going for just giving people Bitcoin, go with something that's going to have value that people are going to appreciate. And I think Sorry, go ahead.
You know, what were you saying? Do you remember?
I was going to say, now that we have Bitcoin ordinals, we've got a lot of layer two stuff on Bitcoin, I think. All roads are going to start flowing back into Bitcoin. You can have NFTs on Bitcoin. Soon you'll do smart contracts, DeFi. You'll have permissionless, you know, actual DeFi. And I think it'll just make sense for everyone to use it. And a lot of this stuff will just kind of fall by the wayside as there's not much use for it.
In the Genius days, everyone was a Bitcoin maxi. I remember one time I asked Mark Andreessen and he told me there's no crypto without Bitcoin. So this was in like summer of 2013. He basically gave me the Bitcoin maximalist view. And when I invested in Coinbase, I remember Brian Armstrong was a hardcore Bitcoin maximalist. He made at that point, Coinbase only had Bitcoin and Litecoin, and he seemed to even think even Litecoin's pointless. But then the reason why Coinbase became the big shitcoin peddler is Balaji. And I Balaji is the reason I even started investing in Bitcoin. So I can't be mad at him, but he drank the shitcoin Kool-Aid, and he became a big part of Coinbase, and I think he led my babies astray. But then EOS, which is the biggest shitcoin of all, had just given Everpedia $30 million. So I was every day messaging Brian Armstrong, begging him to put EOS on Coinbase. Mm-hmm.
I remember the EOS hype in LA was insane.
When people give you $30 million, you turn into a hoe. You have no idea how much of a hoe you can be until they give you the money.
I'm pretty sure SBF was watching what EOS was doing pretty closely, and he was like, yeah, I can do that. And then the rest of the valley followed suit.
I think SBF is fundamentally a good person because I know his parents. His dad was my professor.
Oh, wow.
I think what SBF was trying to do is he was like, all right, CZ is killing it. CZ is Chinese, which is like lawless. So I need to copy what CZ's doing, but make it the American version so we can keep it under control. So I think he was trying to do something good, but then obviously the Adderall made him get a bit cavalier.
Yep.
R.I.P.
Yep. Wow. So are there any other... Sorry, go ahead.
Of course he has no Bitcoin. Of course he loves Solana, which is like the biggest joke of all.
Yeah, but I will say, honestly, it worked way better than ETH. Like, at least it was fast and it was cheap. So yeah, he did
that's
something.
That's like saying ETH works better than crap. This is all useless. And it's so embarrassing that Andreessen Horowitz is behind all of this shitcoin. Yes, I'm telling you, Andreessen, the first time I ever asked him about Bitcoin, he told me he's a Bitcoin maximalist. So how is he holding his nose and investing in all these NFTs and bullshit? I just don't know what's going through that guy's head.
Yeah, I don't get that either. It's pretty weird to see what they're putting their money into.
But... Brian Armstrong's not like that, though. Brian Armstrong is a Bitcoin maxi for sure. He's only he only did it because Balaji forced him to. So I think he's going to slowly start turning it back now that all of the shit coins are going to zero.
Do you think that there's like sort of going to be like just a hole in the US for all these companies because of like legislation and legal? Like, I don't know anyone who's trying to start crypto companies in the US anymore because they're just like, I don't want to deal with this shit. I'll go to Dubai if I'm going to do it.
There's no demand. I mean, so right now, the thing I'm trying to get a developer to build is hella Doge, but we just give dollars. And I like to think, I don't have proof, but I like to think that hella Doge is what inspired Elon Musk to pay Twitter users more. Because I'm pretty sure he knew about it. We tried so hard to get his attention.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he knows who I am because one time he tweeted something talking shit about me.
He probably does.
Yeah, that's the idea now is just to do it with dollars. PayPal is crypto if you think about it. It's electronic money. So that might be good enough.
Yep. So where do you see sort of the future of like where investment's going to be going? Do you think it's all going to be going into AI? Do you think there'll be another wave of sort of crypto investing? Do you think, you know, if something new is on the horizon, we're going to get fucking limitless energy or something, UFOs? Where do you think the world is going?
I think AI is a total crock of shit too. I consider it to basically be a glorified Google I feel lucky. And the thing that I think is important is people need to start getting paid for using the internet. So someone has to figure out how to do something where you get paid to use the internet. And I just get so depressed about the state of technology these days. For example, the CEO of Genius, the last thing he built was a lyrics explainer. I could explain what this site does to a five-year-old, and they'll be like, this is the coolest thing, and they'll start playing with it. Now, he's building a better version of NFTs. What's an NFT? And what the fuck is this shit? This is all completely useless bullshit. So, and no one ever built anything interesting or cool. I'm like, sorry to sound like a boomer, but like, the last popular app is Be Real. And yeah. What is it? You take a selfie every day? Are you serious?
Yeah. Honestly, yeah, it's pretty sad. It feels like we've just been in a lull for the last like 5 years and nothing new is really coming out. And
we've got all the cool stuff is on the internet. You can send pictures and you can send videos. All of that, we got to figure it out. We just need to start paying people for doing that. And not just creators. We need to pay people also for their data. I mean, that all solve a lot of Apple. Like Apple is trying to shut down personalization of ads.
Yep. So
every social media should just say you only get paid if you personalize your ads. And you don't have to get paid that. Like, so the CEO of Genius was against paying people because he said like people are going to get mad that they're only getting paid like 2 cents an hour. But that's not the mentality anymore. People don't think of it as like they're working. They think of it as they're getting compensated. They're getting ownership of their data.
Yep.
So I think it's
now that was
users.
That was exactly what my last company did. We gave people their data, and yeah, we had Facebook coming to us saying literally exactly what you just said. We want to pay people to personalize, well, not personalize, but basically edit their data because our data is pretty trash because a lot of people put in bunk data or old data. And so we would actually be willing to pay people to give us better data to target them with. And I think a lot of companies are getting there, and we definitely noticed as soon as Apple removed the personal ID device ID identifiers from the ad targeting, everyone got pretty desperate, especially Facebook, because Facebook was relying on that a lot. So the world is changing. No one's created, I think, the perfect system to get us from where we are now to there, because there's some infrastructure that needs to be built, and they need to figure out how they're going to do it differently now. But I do believe that we're going to live in a world pretty soon where you're getting paid good money just to live your life. And I mean, we had plenty of studies and opportunities where people could sell their data for $5, $10, sometimes $50. If you're the right person, you're clicking on the right thing, you know, the average person to a crypto exchange, the average successful referral is worth $750 to $1,000 because people spend a lot of fucking money on some of these exchanges or blow it. So, you know, there's money to be made in this industry. You just have to be really smart. And the better you can target people and get the right things in front of the right people, the less money you waste and the less people's time you waste who just aren't the right fit. So as we get smarter about that, I think it'll be a better world. And I think I'm hoping not just that, but we can get to a world where the ads are not just targeted at like augmenting our like desires and just whatever gives us a hit of dopamine, but we get to the point where it's sort of advertising things that actually make our lives better, which is kind of what I want to do. I want to create a system where it's like trying to sell you on the version of yourself you want to be, if that makes sense.
I like personalized ads. I'd rather get ads for my demographic. I'd rather see ads for boner pills than McDonald's. So we targeted to my crew, my posse. But the reason why people don't personalize is because they're like, why would I give Mark Zuckerberg free lunch? So they're like, okay, I'll take the shittier ads as long as this manlet doesn't get paid from me. That's basically what's going on. And that's why we need Web3. And then Mark Zuckerberg won't do it because he's too greedy. At least Elon Musk has done some acid, so he's giving a little bit of money. But then he's still not giving money for data. He's only giving money for creators. So hopefully Elon will take a couple more LSD hits and start giving money just for browsing Twitter too.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. You need people like you who get the community excited and make them, you know, take them on a mission, empower them, and say, look, I'm doing this for you guys. We're trying to make the world better together. And a lot of the CEOs who have the power to do that and they have the data at their disposal, they're just not the types who are going to go out and, you know, get their community together. I think Elon's the only one that really could do
And
that.
shouts out to Elon Musk, by the way. He lives like a mile away from me if he wants to come in and smoke weed. But if he's willing to just squash the beef with me, I can make Twitter cool. I can help him lose about 150 pounds. So hopefully, Elon, during the holidays, get at me, bro. If you're listening, if you're listening to the Crypto Economy podcast, which you probably are.
I
Hit me
mean,
up.
I have a friend who's friends with him, so you never know. We'll see.
And shouts out to Grimes. He's the MILF of the year, and I love her music, and I love you.
Well, on that note, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. You want to maybe just tell people where to follow you, or if you have any parting thoughts, go ahead.
You're the man, brother. No, thanks for letting me speak my truth. If Michael Hayward, Inspector Gadget Jr., Nepo Baby motherfucker who built Genius, wants to box, I'll box him just like what Elon and Zuck wanted to do.
All right, me
And
and Joe Rogan will
what else?
comment.
Shouts out to the gang. Yeah, just hit me up.
Awesome, and I'll put those in the episode description for you guys, and I'll also put that YouTube video for you guys to take a look at.
How many
Thank you,
W's?
sir. And we will be back soon with another episode. Thank you all for listening.